Hello, one and all. Welcome to the 250th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. Coming to y'all live on Monday, April 15th, 2024. Ryan, how is the dog park? How does that compare to the dog house? Where are these things in relation to each other?
The dog house is in the restaurant in LA? H-A-U-S?
I meant being in the metaphorical dog house with a partner, but okay.
Yeah,
the old
Lucas
boomer.
Is referring to sleeping on the couch kind of shit.
Yeah, the old boomer shit. I said something disrespectful to my wife, and rather than talk it over and have a like communicative relationship, I was just kicked out of the bedroom, and now I'm just going to sleep on the couch and be in the doghouse because we don't know how to have healthy relationships in the 50s.
Oh man, remember when jokes used to just be "I hate my wife so much"?
Yeah, it's the meme format. The like boomers, I hate my wife. Millennials, I hate my life. Zoomers, fucking deep fried bullshit.
I knew a guy in college who had bought an old vinyl record that he found that was like just some random fucking comedian and says the top 50 most funny I hate my wife jokes.
Jesus.
That's fucking crazy that they made a whole, I mean, that's the same thing. Like back then, that's the equivalent of getting like a Netflix stand-up special is getting your comedy set recorded and pressed. And yeah, that was just his whole shtick.
So Yakov,
an hour of I hate my wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. That dude. It's wild. Reading about his backstory, I remember I had to do it once. Like I've heard of this guy. He's like the in Soviet Russia guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just a weird dude. Mm-hmm. Everyone Google that.
Yeah, he's a strange guy.
I feel like comedy albums are still kind of a thing. Chris Rock did one.
He also did a special though, right? Was it just a recording of his special?
Maybe.
I don't even know.
That's the thing. You can sometimes buy just the audio on like Spotify and shit, or like Apple Music, whatever. And it's like broken down into the jokes.
Right. I've seen those like come up on Pandora. If you made like a comedy radio station on Pandora, it would have like little 4-minute chunks of just jokes. Like it would be a set piece of the comedy special.
Yeah, I remember I'd be listening to like a Lonely Island song and then it would end and the next thing that would come up was like Daniel Tosh talking for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Yeah.
I've been listening on and off to the Daniel Tosh podcast, the new one.
I've seen some clips. Yeah.
He had a great tirade against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
He's got some level-headed takes. He seems to have aged better than some of the other comedians of his genre and time period.
Speaking of the doghouse, though, and I don't know, comedy, I guess. Andrew Clark, married a year and a half now. I don't know. Have you had any great, like, that's my wife moments, like a comedian John Mulaney foretold would happen?
Jesus. I don't know.
That's dark.
I don't know if I want to emulate John Mulaney's marriage. Proud, like, yeah, that's my wife. Or like,
no, just being able to drop a good my wife.
My wife.
Borat, you know? Either way.
Yeah. I don't know. Not really. I mean,
no one's ever disrespected your girl or your fly girl. Is that the Simpsons quote?
Yeah, it was.
Say
it
someone's
was some
dissing
gangsta,
your fly girl.
Yeah, some gangster's dissing your fly girl. Give him one of these. I don't think I've seen Jade get disrespected and had to be like, that's my wife. I've had a couple of like, yeah, that's my wife moments because, you know, Jade got a promotion recently. That was a big moment. That was cool.
Damn.
I mean, Jade has made a lot of Bo Rat jokes about like every like a lot of times when I say like, oh, yeah, like I'm looking for a place with my wife, Jade will go like, my wife.
With like a
You know?
professional real estate agent that you're
No.
working
Like,
with?
no.
It's just like a
Not in the present.
60-year-old, like fucking, like wearing the blazer and
Yeah.
everything, like woman who's seen it all. She's just like, she's gonna fight for you. You're gonna get a good deal. And you're just like, yeah, no, me and my wife are like, my wife. And
No,
just like,
luckily Jade has not said that out in public.
I
And it's
apologize.
all been tongue in cheek, but
I can no
okay.
longer represent you anymore. Isn't that, but th that's the, there's an internet theory about that, right? Where like, if something is tongue in cheek for long enough, eventually, like there's no distinguishing. Like satire without revealing itself is not satire.
No,
So.
it's why, like, ironic jokes about being a Nazi or like any kind of like fascism creep stuff doesn't work because eventually that's going to disseminate far enough and be removed from the source material, the context enough that it just becomes propaganda.
To clarify, my wife is not a Nazi.
Okay.
No, this is a my wife. That's my wife. Don't you call her a
There it is.
Nazi? You don't get any of that. You don't get like, no.
I did get drunk and got really mad one time about like Jade and I were out with some people and like the like Roe v. Wade shit came up and like some
Oh.
people were like because we were all just like drunk and
Yeah.
talking through like current events
Polite
and stuff.
conversation.
No,
That's
yeah.
the topic you bring
And
up.
some people were saying basically like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like they're, things will probably go back to normal soon. And I got like really mad and I started yelling. I'm like, they're trying to hurt my wife. It's like,
Specifically my wife.
I'm
I'm
very
revealing personal details about our private life.
No, not like that. I just, hey, just controversial take. Not a big fan of women's rights being taken away. I know
A
it's very
big
niche of
fan of the
me.
government.
I'm not
That
a big fan of the government.
would be funny. Just like, no, you don't understand. I got something to say.
I'm not a big fan of the government.
Is that J.K. Simmons? I'm not a big fan of the government, Mark.
Look around you, Mark. I'm not a big fan of the government.
Give me pictures of the government. I'm not a big fan of it. Also, hi, I'm Lucas DeRuyter. Dude, we just beat Kethric Thorm in our Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough, barreling towards Act 3, and quickly moving into uncharted territory. I haven't played a lot of Act 3 because I felt like the game fell off a little bit
Yeah, it
starting
seems like
there,
no
but
one has.
yeah, it
Like, I've
seems
heard
like.
multiple parties that fell off right when they got to Baldur's Gate, the thing that the game
The
is named
titular
after.
Baldur's Gate, yeah.
And the part where you have all these cool abilities and everything like that.
And a lot of the storylines apparently start to come together, and yeah.
It's the part where it falls off.
You do get choice paralysis pretty quickly. You are like up fr they do front end load, whatever you call it, a lot of possibility space, and I don't know. It also didn't help that like I blew my chance at romancing Karlach, and I'm kind of like, oh, but I wanted to do that,
Oh, did you
so
romance someone else? Isn't she like super
accidentally,
monogamous?
I didn't realize I wasn't playing my character that way, and I didn't realize that Baldur's Gate 3 was funneling me like that.
No. I've seen the scene where Karlach is like heartbroken and like, but like understanding, like just like I really care about you, and I understand that, you just prefer this other person, and that's, I'm not willing to share you. It's just like really sad and like, oh fuck.
Carl, I don't. How can I explain that Lyzelle was down, and I didn't realize that that meant I was limiting all of my other options.
I've seen the Gale one too. The Gale one's also pretty brutal.
Oh.
Just like, I would have followed you to the end of the world. Like, I'm so sorry that you don't feel the same way. It's like, fuck, man.
Oh no, Gale.
Jesus
Hey
Christ.
man, I was just trying to brace myself for the emotional impact of you doing a suicide.
Yeah,
Hey,
we already stopped him from doing that.
listen, man, if the Game Awards were less of a sham, there would absolutely be a most down bad character category, and Gale would have taken it home in 2023.
Some pretty down bad characters in that game.
Yeah, I feel like Karlach is the most down bad because She's just touch starved.
I feel like being the way Gale is about his ex makes him more down bad than Karlach.
It's true.
You're definitely a rebound for Gale. No, no questions asked.
Even though it's been like decades. It's just forever rebounding. It's a god, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
That's weird.
The heart wants what the heart wants. And the heart wants to talk about the Fallout TV show.
Whoa.
I'm two episodes in.
I am four episodes in.
I've finished it.
Is it 8 or 10 episodes?
It's 8. It's really not that bad. The first like 3 episodes are super long, and then the rest of them are like 40, like a tight 45. And when they end, you're kind of like, oh shit, it's a normal TV show. Like, I don't know why those. And like, it's like the first one's 1.5 hours, so you're like, oh, so they might have just combined the first two. Mm-hmm. And I think the second one's like 1 hour 15, and the third one's like 1 hour. So it's like, oh, I don't know what happened.
By the end of it, episodes 8 is like 20 minutes long, and
no, 8's. I'm pretty sure like 4 through 8 are almost exactly 45 minutes. Like it's like they were making it for broadcast or something after that.
Yeah, and speaking of that, this show feels like it was written to be watched week to week. I
kind of agree with you there.
I don't know. I know maybe this was, yeah, the release structure was probably decided after the fact, but I know Amazon has a clevity for doing first season binge model, but a little bit of a disservice on this one. This feels like a popular enough show, widely recognized enough IP that there could have been, I don't know, there could have been a little bit of a cultural like moment around this, people tuning in week to week to watch it, to talk about it, but nope, binge model, baby.
Ryan, you kind of talked about like Amazon doing this for the first season of a show, and then the next subsequent seasons follow the week to week model.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Amazon do a lot of different shit. I've seen them release 3-episode chunks where one week they'll release 3, the next week they'll release another 3, and then the following week they'll release the final 3 episodes or something. And then I've seen them do the first 3 episodes of the season like drop at once, and then the rest of the season is week to week.
Yeah.
Do you have any indication on like kind of where this show would fit? Just like, because you've seen the whole thing. Like, do you know if like subsequent seasons would work better as a week to week, or like in chunks, or like binge the whole thing?
Their original like premium content, like The Boys and insert whatever, like that is, yeah, generally going to be first season full binge, drop the entire season at once, try to get people hooked or whatever. And then subsequent seasons are, yeah, they're either like week to week, or what you said, where it's like, you know, a couple episode, like mini binge, and then week to week after that. And then, yeah, that should be the model that this should follow. So I'm guessing next season will be more weekly. But yeah, I've always been on the side of like premium, like quote unquote water cooler TV, like old school HBO stuff. That should be weekly. That gives people a chance to all be on the same page, gives their chance to be discourse, gives their chance for like, you can be in the moment, like following along, and versus just like, yeah, everyone at completely different points like we are right now. And like, yeah, a binge is cool. Binges are fun. But like, man, they really do minimize the cultural impact of shows. I mean, take like Netflix, other than Stranger Things, and even then Stranger Things has some of this, like some of these issues too. It just doesn't have the same cultural cachet. Ozark was like one of their biggest shows of all time, and that shit just like went out with a whimper. Like, no one even remembers that show.
Yeah.
Like, it never happened, basically. Like, because yeah, every season was just full binge. So
hey,
yeah.
My dad liked Ozark and remembers that show. Yeah.
A lot of people liked Ozark.
Yeah, I watched all of Ozark. Well, no, that's ironic. I actually stopped like 4 episodes short and just have never gone back, which is hilarious.
Oh, damn it.
Years and years of watching, and then like another show came out while I was 6 episodes into the final season, and just have never gotten back to it. Not because I didn't like it, just because that's what happens.
No, so, that'd be life.
Like that, they've benefited from that model, but I feel like that model's more for library content. That model's more for like The Suits of the world. That like, yeah, yeah, it blows up and becomes a big thing because everyone can just binge it as much as they want in the background. But
Yeah.
like,
And binging 80 episodes of a show is a lot different than binging the first 8 episodes of the first season as soon as it drops. Like,
right.
yeah, like people are talking about Fallout, and like I'm really liking it. I'm gonna try to be very, cognizant of spoilers for Lucas. Hope you do the same, Ryan. But
Nah.
like this,
Nah.
y'all motherfuckers are in danger right now. Bring
the
it!
show released like 3 or 4 days ago.
I don't know what you want from me. I'm just built different.
That's noted.
And don't give me the whole I'm watching it with Jade, so it's slow
I'm
thing. Me
not
and
watching it
Angel.
with Jade.
Oh, well then that's even
No.
worse. I've been busy.
Me and Angel watched the whole fucking thing together.
I mean, I watched like 3 episodes yesterday, but
Yeah.
do
So did
y'all
we.
probably finish about the end of the week?
So I will say the first thing this show is making me do is making me realize that I should play the first Fallout game. That
The
was just
first
on,
two, yeah.
yeah, that was just
Yeah.
on Steam for collectively, I think like $8 right now.
Those games are like isoteric, basically.
Yeah. No, I'm down. I'm down to clown. Were those games weirdly horny? Because the more recent Fallout games that I have played are not as horny as this show is, and that was the first thing that surprised me about it.
I mean, Fallout has romanceable plot lines and
Yeah.
stuff. I feel like that's what they're trying to get
Yeah,
after is like
there
there's
aren't like
romance
sex
elements.
scenes in like at least the modern Fallout games. There's just like the understanding of we're a couple now. Like that's what romance ends in.
Right.
I don't know about the first couple games.
No,
No.
Andrew, romance ends in the perks that you get from your companions. That's the only purpose of romancing. No role playing at all. We're min-maxing here, motherfucker. We're trying to get when you romance Curie, it's not because she's an adorable French woman who wouldn't hurt a fly. It's because now your stim packs heal 100% of your health. That's the only reason to actually do it.
I every time they use a stim pack in the show and they play the stim pack sound from
Yeah,
the
from the
game, like
game. Yeah.
lizard brain, I activate. Oh, that means health. That means health recovery.
Dude, there's so much lizard brain stuff in this show. Like
Yeah, they nailed it.
they really liked the games. Like
Yeah.
you can we knew this from like how much they cited it as an inspiration for Westworld and stuff, but like they are fans of Fallout. Let me as someone who's watched all 8 episodes, no spoilers, they are fans of the show. They're not like the Halo guys who like came in and were like, this is popular. Let's just kind of do our own thing with these popular characters. They were like, nah,
I'm sorry.
this is the show, 1-to-1.
Are you calling Steven Spielberg a hack?
Not a hack, just I don't blame Steven Spielberg for not being a fucking Halo junkie. Like,
He's like 80 years old.
yeah. That being said, it seems like Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy are Halo are Fallout junkies. Like they seem like they've played a lot of the games.
And I want to ascribe this to TV writing, but that's not entirely fair since it's my understanding the earlier Fallout games did this too, where they were much smaller scale and character focused. But 2 episodes in, at least, the fact that there is no like massive, you gotta save the world from getting blown up by a nuke or from humanity being replaced by robots. The fact that there's none of that, and right now it is just very much, hey, these are characters going on their small scale, personally motivated adventures is fantastic. And that fantastic is just dialed up even further when one of those characters is evil cowboy ghoul Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Which, like, it's weird because he is in all the prosthetics, but also I don't know who else could play that role. Like, that
Yeah, no,
is.
it is kind of perfect casting.
He really does, like when you think of all the ghouls, at least in Fallout 3 and 4 that I've interacted with, like they nail it. Like that's good casting. Like skinny guy who's like kind of wiry, but like you can tell like get shit done. Like that's pretty good casting.
A little bit of
It's
a
pretty
wild
on.
card, a little bit of
Yeah.
a hey, you could go ballistic at any moment, both because of
Right.
your personality and because of brain rot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
No,
where are you
that's a
guys at
very
right now?
small drop in a big bucket of drugs. Like,
Oh yeah. Have
that
you seen
was
that yet,
good.
Lucas?
Yeah, no,
All
I
the
saw
cows, yeah.
episodes. I love that he has the bloody mess perk, and
Yeah.
they don't establish that, or is his guns
Yeah.
stronger? His guns make
Yeah.
people blow up like that.
Yeah.
Now there's so much stuff that's like a direct homage to the video game that like yeah, if you don't 100% know what's going on, you're kind of like, oh, interesting. Like even stim packs as a whole, it's like, oh, these are just magic basically, and it's like, yeah, it's video game logic, and they kind of motivate a lot of it, but
Yeah.
sometimes you have to just be like, eh,
Lucy was
whatever.
at like 25% health and dropping, and she used a stim pack, and that got her up to like 75%.
Ah.
It worked.
Yep. People's foot fell off. I thought they were going
Put
to
a new
actually
foot on.
regenerate his foot
Yeah, I
like
thought
they
they were
do in the
too.
games, and it's like, oh no, they're not going that far with the video game logic, but that's fair.
There's a scene, no spoilers, but like there's a scene later on in the show, Lucas, where like if you pay attention enough, you'll notice some dead people that are wearing Pip Boys, and it has the spread eagle Pip Boy with like the X'd out eyes and all the limbs are broken.
Yeah.
Jesus.
like from the game. Or it's like, oh, your left leg is disabled. Use a stim pack to heal it or whatever. Like it shows all their body parts being disabled.
Yeah. No, they do really good stuff in terms of like being faithful to the games. Like whether you like the show or not, if you're a Fallout fan, you will appreciate just how much attention to detail they put into like really going for it with the games.
Do you guys, I don't know, does being further along than I am, does it elevate past that? Like, is it more than a reference machine? Is it using this universe to tell, I don't know, newer, more interesting stories maybe? Or is this like, hey, you should only probably watch this if you played the games?
I thought so, yeah. I thought it has great like standalone value, and for people who don't like know anything about the games, like me and Angel just started Fallout 4 because it's just like, hey, here we go. I got the game. Like she really enjoyed the storytelling and the universe and everything. She didn't want to leave the vault. Like she at first she was kind of like, oh, I was into like the vault shit. Like what the fuck is going on there? Like it's kind of Severance-y, Like, and it's like, yeah, no, that's gonna be a storyline, but like, no, there's a whole world out there. Like they're not just gonna only be focused on the vault. That could be a spin-off, maybe, like lower stakes, smaller scale, maybe more comedic spin-off. But yeah, no, like for a show like this is gonna have the whole shebang. I like the New California Republic references. Like I think that creates interesting ideas that they can really explore that I know were talked about in the earlier games and then kind of ditched by Bethesda, which is fair. They can do whatever they want. They've been successful. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because all of the Fallout games, they don't really have much to do with one another. Like there's no like Fallout game where you go, oh man, this is gonna change like the whole way that the Wasteland works or anything like
Right.
that, where the next game would then be like the rules are changed, shit like that. No one really has a great impact on the world at large. And like there's not really any carry over in terms of characters other than a few like small like references or side characters. And so like I'm kind of interested to see like where this show fits in with the other games, like timeline wise.
I
Because
think it
like
is.
there's certain events where it's like I want to know if this takes place before this shit happened or afterwards, but it really doesn't matter.
They're pretty like forward about years, like about time. They're never like obscuring it, even in the show or in the games. Like we have a pretty definitive timeline of when everything happens. But I think it's just that all the people call it the wasteland, but like it's all very disconnected. Like there's like the end of Fallout 3 is huge. Like basically the entirety of the Capital Wasteland is completely transformed and has like drinkable water and shit like that. Like it's on the path to recovery. The end of
Only
Fallout
if you end the
4,
game a specific way that, and
the
that's,
obvious way, the way
well,
that
yeah,
like
the
everything
obvious
could have
way, but like
ended.
it's they've never really established canon endings with these games because then the other games always take place in a different part of the wasteland.
Right.
Like you don't go back to the Capital Wasteland in any of the other games.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's like some references to it and stuff like that, but yeah, no, like it that's the thing is that it's so disconnected that they get away with it. But like I do think that they have a canon, and I think the canon at least for 3 is that you've cured the wasteland. I think four, yeah, it's probably more up in the air because there's so many different factions that you can choose from, and I'm not sure exactly what they would make, be the canon for the Boston Wasteland. Like, would that be, the railroad ending? But even then, like, that's kind of eh. So, the railroad
For
ending is probably the most quote unquote moral, but also the most heinous in terms of like making the wasteland a better place. So.
What it's worth, I think that the show is like the furthest along we've seen the Fallout universe. Like that is the most in the future. Yeah, also tying this to the games, it is, I don't know, with the kind of like white knuckle state Bethesda is in, at Starfield being a pretty big flop, the like enhanced PlayStation 5 version of Fallout 4, I think dropping this week, like within a week of the show coming out. It does feel like this show is tying into just how desperate Bethesda is for a W and how much their next game, whether that's next Fallout or whether that's Elder Scrolls 6, just this has to be a win. Otherwise, Sugar Daddy Microsoft might cut us off.
Yeah, it's got to be Elder Scrolls 6, right? Like, I don't know when, but like,
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
their swing, right? That's their like, oh, we're on the ropes. Well,
their
let's
next
put everything we
new
got
game
into
is
it.
probably Elder Scrolls 6, but that might still be 5 years away.
Is insane. When did they unveil the
That was like 4 years
God.
ago.
No, that was more than that, right? That
Was it
was
really?
well pre-pandemic, I'm pretty sure. I would guess like 6 years ago.
2018.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 6 years
That
ago.
it, no, that's right, because 76 flopped so hard that they were like, oh, we gotta let them know we're cooking on something else.
Which is, it's kind of funny because they have put so much work into 76 that a lot of people are like kind of saying that it's the best Fallout game now. I don't know. I would never like agree with that, but there are a lot of people that really, really, really fucking like it now.
Those are just people
It
that don't like Fallout. Like, I refuse to believe that someone who's genuinely a Fallout single player RPG fan would think Fallout 76 is the best Fallout game. Like, that's just it's just patently untrue. Like, that's the whole point of Fallout is these characters and exploring these themes and everything like that. And it's just like, oh, bunch of shitty robots and like random like tacked on NPCs. I don't know, man.
Also, did they make the minor characters in the show weirder? I don't remember like characters being like that. I don't know, almost
I think
like,
so. Yeah.
yeah, in the games. I don't remember
Oh
being
no, I
like
think
quite
in the
that fucked up.
games. Yeah,
Oh,
they're pretty
okay.
there's some pretty fucking weirdos in the
Wastelanders are
games.
fucked, man.
Okay.
I think it's just the lack of a normal like Wastelander, but you might see some more in the show. And
All right.
then yeah. It's there's you guys are gonna have fun. There's an episode in the future that you'll see. But yeah, I think it's just that Philly is kind of like a fucked place. Like,
Yeah, even
I
that
don't
guy
think
was
it's.
like, yeah, Philly, people get murdered there a lot. I would
Yeah.
avoid it. That's not like the standard of the wasteland.
Yeah.
It's a bad place.
I don't think Philly is like the Diamond City of the fucking LA wasteland. Like, I think Philly is like a shithole. Like, it's not a place you want to
I
go.
mean, yeah, she said, like, do you know where any criminals would be? He's like, well, they would probably be in Philly.
Also, I fantastic work all around with the power armor in the show and making it
Yeah.
the look and feel just so imposing and terrifying and heavy and
Also unwieldy.
wildly
Yeah.
impractical.
Like really stupid, but also like
Really cool.
yeah, like really intimidating
Yeah,
in an
people are
open
like,
field.
oh.
Fuck that shit. Like, I can see why that was used in the like Alaskan War, where it's just fucking nothing. It's just a wasteland. Like, yeah. Great. That sounds perfect for power armor.
Yeah, but in a cave, in a
And
city,
with a box of scraps.
in a lake, not so much.
Yeah. They do get into a lot of the stuff that's like very much a part of the meta game of Fallout, especially like towards the back half of the season that I think you guys will enjoy. Like, there's stuff that like if you really pay attention and read all the logs and like are big up on the lore and everything, you would know as a game player, but I think even casual Fallout players aren't 100% up on some of the stuff that they start diving into in the back half of the season, which is fun.
I have heard they do finally, like, in the show, get into like some of the motivations around Vault Tech, which to this current point in Fallout's lore, from my understanding, is just like, yeah, this is just a faceless evil corporation, because the original Fallout games are like very anti-American and anti-capitalist, so those themes worked. But no, I'm excited to get into that. I'm excited to, like, wait, why were they doing social experiments, like mutating people, and why did they benefit from that? I want to see.
It's out
I
there.
yeah
That's what I'm
no
talking about. The
I oh
more
yeah
casual Fallout player might not be aware, but it's all out there. The lore
yeah
is there. The motivations, everything like that. It's in the games. It's just buried. They never
Huh.
like feed it to you. You have to
Yeah.
really dig for it.
I don't know if, I mean, I don't want you to react to this, Ryan, in case I do hit a spoiler, but like, I remember in the games reading through some of the logs, it's like, yeah, most of the vaults were like designed to be social experiments so that Vault Tech could figure out like the most successful way to set up a moon colony for like the elite.
That's not in the
Like,
show, like,
no? Okay.
but they could get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's it. That's
They
literally
were
it.
trying to make situations as fucked up as possible so that they could like account for every contingency
Yeah, they
in
were
like setting
gathering
up a
data
moon
to
colony.
form like a space colony with the elites of the Vault Tech company, which were going to be using cryo and stuff like that to survive through the apocalypse and then rebuild and go to the moon. That's the general motivation of the corporation. I will say, like, I know that three and four, three maybe a little bit more than four, like, weren't as anti-capitalist, anti-America. The show goes there.
Yeah,
The
dude.
show does not pull those punches at all. It does not like ignore the like general underlying theme of evil corporations. It's not like,
Yeah.
oh, it's a bad apple doing bad apple things and the other companies are great. Like the show dives into those themes of like, is this at all like good? Is our system that we're operating under creating positive outcomes?
I did love that, like, in the first 5 minutes of the show, a dude doesn't give a thumbs up, and so the other dude calls him a fucking pinko.
Oh, you'll get more about that too.
Yeah. And then
There's
that.
more than just the reason he doesn't give a thumbs up is why he calls him that. You'll see.
And then that dude punches a dude trying to get into his nuclear fallout shelter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a limited amount of supplies in your fallout shelter, you can't just let twice as many people come into it. Like, you're gonna have half the amount of supplies. That's
Yeah.
what sucks, but that's reality, man. People are stupid. I mean, but like, if you play the games, like, no one made it out of their personal little Fallout
Yeah,
shelter.
no.
Everyone died in there. It was too long. There was too much radiation. So.
That is certainly a visual, seeing Walton Goggins riding on a horse as retro future Los Angeles is nuked in the background.
Yeah, no,
Right.
it was a hell of an opening shot.
Yeah, would you rather just die in nuclear annihilation or like slowly die with the realization that you're running out of supplies in a fucking underground like musty bunker? Like, I don't know, man.
I
You
think if
don't
I'm
have
that
to.
close to ground zero, I feel like it would, given the two
Yeah.
options, I think I would probably just die right
Atomize
away.
me.
Yeah, but like if
Turn me
I'm
to
farther
atoms.
away and I'm like, oh man, maybe in like 50 years, there's a chance that like the radiation's low enough where I could go somewhere else.
I we
I'd
But where
choose
are you
that.
surviving for 50 years?
Oh, in the bunker.
You can't survive in a bunker?
Or what, whatever. I'm
In the vault, one thing,
not that many
sure.
years. Not that many years. I'm saying like if I'm far enough away where like, because in Los Angeles, like if you guys get nuked, it's going to be radioactive for 1,000 years. Like, out in the woods in the middle of fucking nowhere, it might not be that bad in 20 years.
You can't survive for 20 years in an underground bunker. Like, that's just impossible. You
You got
can't.
a lot of spam, or I'm sorry,
Nah.
cram.
Cram, yeah. It's too small. It's too
I've
small.
actually thought about this a little bit, because I think it was maybe when we were in high school or early in college, There was that blip in Hawaii's either air raid or like a nuclear
Yeah, where they
bomb like
sent out
warning
an
sign.
ICBM warning. Yeah.
And then there were videos of these dudes playing golf, and it's just like, well, I guess we're gonna play through.
Yeah,
Like,
that's what I do.
no, go out. Like, fine, whatever.
Like 100%. If we got something like that in LA, I think it's over. Like I don't think there's a shot.
I mean, I'm gonna finish this match of FIFA or as much as I'm able to before they hit. Like, die as I live. Let's go.
I don't know. It would be chaos, panic. Like you're gonna be stuck on a freeway somewhere. If you had a bicycle. Bicycle could make it. The horse is definitely a good move. The horse could definitely get you pretty far. I think I've done a decent amount of research into this just out of like macabre curiosity. I think like with our current warning systems, we'd have about like 20 minutes or so to prepare. So like I'm in Burbank. Like Santa Clarita is probably the nearest place where you might have a shot of escaping the general blast radius. I don't think anyone would nuke Santa Clarita. And like it's in its own valley, kind of protected by some of the mountains. I don't think anyone would waste a nuke on fucking Santa Clarita.
It's not really wasting if you have thousands of them. Like,
It's like 100,000 people, like versus just yeah, more nukes on the eastern seaboard and like along the like the other part, more popular parts of Southern California. Like I don't I for me that seems like a waste. That's your best shot anyway.
no.
If I'm in Burbank. And heading up that freeway, there's no fucking shot. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get away from
On
the
a
downtown, and I don't think it's gonna work with a car.
Day where a bomb doesn't go off, there is no shot. Like, you're just
Yeah.
no.
Under normal circumstances, the five is a parking lot. You think if we've received a notice on our phone that a nuclear bomb is about to go off, like, nah, fam, that ain't happening. But yeah, I've done some research. It's like, okay, on a bicycle. You can probably go about 20 miles an hour. You got about 20 minutes. You can make it about 6 miles. Like if you're, near the edge, it could make a difference. Like, but yeah, in a car, like you're just gonna get stuck in gridlock and then you're gonna die in your car. So
Like a
up to
chump.
you. Yeah, like a chump, might as well die in your house. But yeah, it's fun. There's a website, I don't remember what it's called, but if you Google it, you'll find it where you can just do simulations. Of like what would happen if a nuke hit a insert city here, and then they show you the various implications, the various blast radiuses, the like insta-dead vaporized part, and then the like larger scale demolition part, and then the like radioactive fallout part, and it's like yeah, there you go, and you can use like up to date. This is what's in the Soviet Union or the Russia's. Current arsenal. This is what's in the United States' current arsenal. Like, have fun. See what's up. Also, what's interesting is that in the game, people, I think they don't talk about it openly in the show yet, but like, I assume people would think that we're at war against Russia in the show. Like, that's what caused it. But no, it's China. Like, it's canonically China. So it's kind of interesting.
I think it was more anti-communist sentiment, which would have been both if I remember how the alt history of Fallout plays out.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember there being much lore about the Soviet Union
Yeah,
in the
I was
Fallout
pretty sure it
games.
was China. Like China was the ones we went to war with. They always show like the enemy soldiers are Chinese. I don't know. I know it's yeah, it's anti-communist, obviously,
Right.
but I don't know.
Yeah. What else are y'all checking out? What else do we want to talk about? Baseball season ramping up, weird number of pitching injuries to start the season already, but
Yeah.
also, yeah, it's normal. Kinda. Pitching is bad for your body.
Elbows are fucked, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Human body is not meant to do the things that baseball pitchers have to do now to be successful.
To keep up with the power curve.
You guys think Shohei Ohtani did the gambling?
Yeah.
We talk about
Yeah,
that?
I think
Oh,
that's
all right.
like it seems like his interpreter definitely did something to fuck him over. And probably also stole some money from him, but I think it's pretty obvious that Ohtani was gambling and his interpreter was facilitating that. It's just that also his interpreter probably ended up stealing as well, which is why like the Dodgers went full face or a heel turn from, hey, we're gonna get this guy help, to like within a couple hours being, we're gonna fucking kill this guy's family.
I think they did that to protect Ohtani, because
Yeah.
otherwise Ohtani would fucking go down.
Well,
Like
but they set up an interview with like USA Today or something with the interpreter, and before the interview like was concluded, they said never mind,
I think they
things are
realized the
different.
scale of it. Like they probably assumed, like, oh, we can say he bet, $100,000 on, like, yeah, and it's like, oh, that's a believable amount for Ohtani to not understand went
And turned out to
missing.
be like 18 million.
Yeah, it's too, they realize it's too fucking big. We can't just like parade this as like a little oopsie from his friend. Like, this is obviously going to be a full blown like conspiracy. You
They left him
cannot,
in Korea. They
yeah.
fucking dropped his ass.
You cannot like just ignore 18 million missing from your bank account. I don't care how rich you are. Like, it's impossible. Otani 100% was aware and almost certainly like directing the bets through Ippi. I mean, like, people keep bringing it up in like defense of him, like, wow, Ippi, what a betrayal and all this stuff. Because, like, look how friendly Otani was to him. And it's like, no, that's more evidence against Otani, the fact that he was so chill with him and like
Yeah, they were
they
really,
were
really close.
besties. Like,
Yeah.
that's more evidence that Otani clearly knew what the fuck was going on the day it all came out. Like, they were chilling in the dugout and like yucking it up, having a blast together. Like, is that what you would assume of someone who's definitely aware of these accusations by that point? Like, nah.
I think there was a report that came out a few days ago that, like, 'cause the original number was like 4.5 million, and then like more recently it ended up being somewhere around 15 million. I can't remember the exact number. Like a damning text from his interpreter, shows like should exonerate Ohtani. And the text was, it was to the bookie, I think. He's like, okay, so technically, I mean, if you think about it, this is stealing from Ohtani, but it should all be fine. And it was like, I think he is not exonerated
Yeah, if
based on
anything,
that
that
text.
sounds more incriminating. I feel like every time they try to do that, it's like, that seems worse.
It's such a great sports scandal because I don't know, like you get something like Deflategate, and like your impulse that, well, somebody should be held accountable for this, and the NFL just really kind of bungled that, and I don't know, that was disappointing. But this is a weird situation where, wow, this is coming out like a month after baseball made Ohtani the new golden boy, the new face of baseball. So
Been the
now,
face of
yeah, a
baseball,
couple of
yeah.
years
Like,
now.
he's he they can't afford
Right, but
it.
now he's making like face of baseball money. And they're not motivated to actually do anything about this. Like, the federal government is more motivated to do Well, yeah,
fraud shit than like baseball. And they have to talk out of both sides of their mouths on this one.
he signed a contract a couple of months ago, structured in a way that like immediately made him the IRS's public enemy number one.
Right.
Like they knew that he was going to be scrutinized out the ass, and like they can't afford Ohtani to go to fucking federal prison for fraud and illegal gambling. Not
Can't
to
afford
mention
him
like
being
the
seen
impact
as
that it,
gambling. Yeah,
yeah,
just
like
based
I
on sports'
forget
history.
about the like the implications in terms of like sports gambling and baseball gambling with a professional player. I mean, when NFL players place college sports
Yeah.
bets, they get absolutely eviscerated by
On
the
the
league.
teams, like on team property, which includes
Yeah,
like the
the
jet and stuff
facilities.
like that. Yeah, like things that you wouldn't inherently necessarily know count. But yeah, like they're put in like these very strict regulations because of sports's history with fucking gambling, like because of the Chicago Black Sox, because of Pete Rose, because of Michael fucking Jordan, like one of the actual conspiracy theories of the time. And look what they did with him, if that's true. Like, I don't know, man. It's I they can't baseball especially is worse off than like even basketball was with Michael Jordan because it's such a dying breed. And then they had this one guy who's actually energizing young people to get into the sport potentially. And now he could potentially go down. Like, no, they are going to fight fucking tooth and nail to keep him like above the water. And if that
And
means Ippy has to take the fall and go to federal prison for a couple decades, like they're gonna do it. Like.
or a country without extradition laws. And of course, this is all, it's deeply ironic that this is all happening in the backdrop of sports betting being bigger in the public than ever before. And it kind of feels like ESPN as a business model doesn't make sense unless they're running a FanDuel sports ad once every 4 minutes on any sports broadcast that they're doing. It's just,
Yeah, it's so much, dude. It's kind of sickening.
Yeah. The pregame show used to be like analysis of the game and like here's some of the key matchups. Like this corner is like very good in man coverage, but unfortunately Devontae Adams is an excellent route runner. Let's break down some of their film, blah blah blah, to like, hey, what's the over under? Like what are some of your hot gambling picks and stuff? Like there's maybe a quarter of the analysis of the pre like sports betting legalization. And like just a massive chunk of gambling stuff. And then like, yeah, additional like entertainment gossipy stuff. Like, oh, did you see the new Travis Kelce pick with Taylor on fucking their bye week? Like, yeah. It,
Now,
it's it's gotten away from what the root was because they're trying to broaden, because they're trying to bring sports to a new audience that used to be
yeah,
like
but
sports
sports gambling
ball.
makes so much money. It is.
Pundits used to bring up the spread like winkingly, like, oh, we're not supposed to be talking about it, but oh, we're gonna do. And now it's like, how far away are we from ESPN doing a, and here's the Poggers parlay of the week.
There's live,
Yeah, there.
like live spreads being published like during the gameplay. Like
Yeah.
they'll just bring up the live spread. Like they'll be like, here was the spread before the game. Here's the current spread. Place your bets now. Like they're literally actively doing that. And like this is as someone who was kind of pro legalizing sports betting before it happened. Like I don't think I fully understood the like pure greed of how this would all play out. I just assumed that like no. Gambling makes so much money, they don't need that level of bullshit. It's the same thing as casinos. Like, you don't really need that much advertising for your casino because it's a fucking casino. People are gonna go. They're gonna type into Google Maps casino and go there. It's hard. You have to be Donald Trump to like fail at running a casino. So I just assumed it'd be like that. But nope. Nope, nope, nope.
I also have like no moral, well, outside of like the Ohtani stuff and him just being able to influence shit unduly. I also have like no moral qualms against sports betting. But I do take personal umbrage with anyone who is, I don't know, sweaty about it. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like this is emerging as a niche, as a kind of guy similar to the people who, I don't know, during the pandemic would like go into a GameStop and demand to purchase every Pokemon card in that GameStop because they thought they could flip that shit for Buko bucks. And that mentality I take umbrage with.
Yeah, I mean it is way more common than you would think for people to just routinely drop like 5 grand on a prop bet. Like just going over every single stat that they can and be like, oh, like even like there's really dumb commercials out there of like, oh man, his mom's gonna be at the game tonight. You know, that means he's gonna drop more than 25, you know, it doesn't matter his minutes, you know, shit like that. But like I know people that do shit like that. And it's horrifying because it's like, hey man, how's your weekend? Not that great. I lost 4 grand on the fucking Jets game. It's like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, I mean, like I made a lot of it up on like some of the other games this weekend, but like, yeah, that one really fucked me. I'm like, are you gonna stop? No. What? Why would I? This is fine. I'll make it up next weekend. No problem. He's
Yeah.
like, Jesus Christ.
No, people are obviously like irresponsible with it, but like there's other broad implications about like the legitimacy of the sport that come into play when you have that much money at stake. Like there was an NBA role player who was accused of like fixing his stat lines. Like he missed a couple of free throws to put him like below his over under on points. Like individual prop bets on like individual role players who are making like 400 grand a year, where he could stand to make $4 million by missing a couple of free throws, like if he puts the bets in the right place. Like, it's like, why wouldn't you? Like, there's college gambling. Why wouldn't a college athlete, like who's just some shitty no-namer that they would never actually investigate, put like a few hundred dollars in, like through a friend that would be completely untraceable, and then like throw, like just put his thumb on the scale ever so slightly so that he could make tons and tons of money. Like, these individual prop bets just allow endless corruption, like to where sports could be seen as just not even legitimate anymore. I don't know if either of you saw the Boban Marjanovic thing last night,
No.
which is that kind of, but like, I don't know if it influenced anything, but basically, Boban used to play for the Clippers, and now he plays for, I don't even remember, but they were playing, oh, the Rockets. They were playing the Clippers in a meaningless game. The Rockets were winning. It was towards the end of the game, and Boban was at the free throw line, and the Clippers had a promotion going on that if an opposing player misses both of his free throws, they get free wings for the entire stadium or whatever.
Yeah, the Bucks have something like that too.
Yeah. And so Boban missed the first free throw organically and then heard the cheering and kind of looked around and noticed what was going on and was like, I got you, I got you. And then missed the free throw intentionally to get everyone wings, which is awesome. But like,
Yeah.
also, like, holy
Ooh.
shit. Like, you know, that's not nothing, right, about the legitimacy of sports competitions. Like, that's money influencing the outcome of sports, like not just actual competition. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know where we're
Boban, that
going.
guy that John Wick killed with a book.
Yeah. Boban survived fighting John Wick, so therefore he's a god. He cannot be questioned.
Then as far as other sports go, sports stuff goes, I believe the Bucks are locked into the three seed in the NBA playoffs, playing the Pacers. We've lost more games with Doc Rivers than we did with our previous coach, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't bode well.
I think Adrian Griffin was 30 and 13 or something like that, and Griffin is I think 17 and 19. We
Griffin had
lost
the
8 of our last
easiest
11.
schedule in the entire NBA up until that point,
Okay. Yeah, Ryan
to
and
be
I talked about
fair.
this last night.
And we lost to plenty of very bad teams with Griffin as well. I'm not as much of a doomer as a lot of people, but like, yeah, it's not looking promising. Like, I don't think that this team is one that's necessarily capable of winning it all, but like, I could still see us making some sort of playoff run. And if things glue together at the right point, like, who knows? We're one of the oldest rosters in the entire NBA, and
Right.
like a lot of the guys have been banged up. Like, I just think that we've been phoning it in, and I don't think that means we're going to turn it on and all of a sudden be a ju unstoppable juggernaut, but like, I do think it gives that as a possibility versus like, no, this team has been trying as hard as possible and can't possibly win. Like, that's more doomery, I guess. So I think that it's a bad strategy to ever do that, to tank during the regular season, but who knows? Like, it worked for the Heat last year. It's worked for the Lakers in the past. Like, teams do it. It can happen. You just need the right roster that actually has the experience to pull something like that off. And you know, if Giannis is actually at 100%, obviously we can beat anyone. Like, there's no doubt about that. We beat the Celtics a lot during the regular season, and they are far and away the best team in the NBA.
Yeah,
So
we would routinely lose to like the fucking like Sacramento Kings and Spurs and like the Orlando Magic badly, and then like 3 days later beat the fucking Celtics by 35 points.
right.
We did that 3 times, I think, this season.
Which is why I hope that like what we're really looking at is the veterans on the team circling the dates on the calendar for the big games, and then the other games just kind of fucking phoning it in a little bit. Like, you know, let's reduce our minutes. Let's try to, you know, keep everyone as healthy as possible. Chris Middleton obviously was fighting injuries all season long, but like has been genuinely really good when he's healthy. Like, Dame obviously has never quite fully clicked, but like, Dame is one of the oldest players and plays one of the most physically demanding positions. And like, Also, by the way, like when Doc Rivers took over, Dame has become a genuinely pretty good defensive player, which is insane. He's
Yeah,
literally
because
never been that his
he's
entire
always
career.
been really, really bad
He's always been one
defensively.
of the worst defenders in the NBA, and now he is genuinely a plus defender, which is insane. Like he's not all NBA defensive team or anything, but like for Damian Lillard to be a plus defender, that's ridiculous. Like that is such an improvement, and I don't know. Did we ever even hold a single team under 100 points with Adrian Griffin? Like we just that was impossible. Most of the time we'd give up 130 plus, like, and meanwhile, pretty consistently, like even when we lose to bad teams, we are holding them to pretty decent like defensive scores. And games get slower in the playoffs, like referees let people play a lot more, so there's a lot less scoring. I don't know. I'm not like optimistic. I'm not like completely drinking the copium, like, but I still think that like this team is very capable of having an entertaining playoff run.
We held the Hornets to 99 once.
Once with Adrian Griffin, and it's the fucking Hornets, like, and by 1 point, like, yeah, dude, our defense was genuinely horrific. Like anyone who thinks that like we should have kept Griffin is just wrong. Like I get it's disappointing that we went with Doc Rivers. Like I know that there might have been some other stuff going on that made it impossible to get anyone else, but like
I think
we
Griffin should
needed
have
a
never been
change.
hired because I think that fucked up everything
That was
because,
clearly a Giannis thing. Like as
yeah, no,
much as Giannis
I
wants to
understand
pretend
that.
not.
And that was a bad decision.
Was
Giannis
it?
shouldn't
Like,
be GM.
what if Giannis wants to leave? Like that's the only thing that matters is keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. Like that is genuinely the only thing that matters. So if you have to make calculated decisions about like, ooh, this might fuck us over, but like also it will keep Giannis in the city. Like, I think they have to pull that trigger every time. So I don't know. We're gonna see. I am looking forward to a Celtics matchup. That's the only thing that I really want. And granted, now it's not gonna be until the Eastern Conference Finals, which will make things interesting. But
The Pacers have had our number like all season, and
Did we
it's gonna
circle
be
the Pacers, you know? Like did
a
we re did our vets really go like, ooh, Pacers, let's get them? Or were they like, eh,
and
these
now.
guys, I don't care.
I know I say this pretty much every time we talk about the NBA, but this is also why I cannot bring myself to give a shit about the NBA regular season because
It's too long.
it's too long and like it's not teams playing their best. It's not teams that the wins don't matter. There are too many games that wins don't matter, and I get enough basketball from just the playoffs. Like that is fine for me. To watching one team, my team preferably, play through the NBA playoffs, and that, yeah, no, that solid like month and a half of basketball is, I'm good for the year.
I watched all the Celtics games. I watched the play-in games, and then I watched like some other one-off games here and there that were on like primetime TV, like against the Spurs to see like Victor Wembanyama play and stuff like that. Like that's all you really need to do in the NBA. And then yeah, playoffs. Like the reason that the play-in or the cup tournament or whatever the fuck was so interesting is that it was playoff level basketball. Like there's just such an obvious uptick in the intensity of the game, and so. Yeah, that's all you really need to do.
All right, our boy Ryan's got a heart out, so this is gonna be Andrew and Lucas show talking about, I don't know, Andrew, what are you checking out other than the stuff we've talked about already?
I was checking out Fallout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Fallout, Shogun. I think there's technically two episodes left in Shogun, but I don't know. They might both air tomorrow. I'm not positive.
Okay.
I don't think so. I originally thought there was only 9 episodes, and now it looks like there's 10. So we'll see.
Okay.
Most
Any
recent
up?
episode was better. I know we talked about it last week. Some of the disappointments with the show. I think this most recent episode played into its strengths a little bit more.
I had the opportunity to write an article that was, check out these anime if you like Shogun, and pass that over because I'm not watching Shogun. I'm not qualified to write that. But
I could never watch that show that all my friends like and have recommended to me and then get paid. Fuck
I would never
that
like that.
noise.
Listen, I have to watch a bunch of bad anime to make fun of them in a column tomorrow. These are my
Yeah.
priorities, apparently.
Watch a show that everyone thinks I would like that's getting rave reviews or draw 25 Lucas with the 25 cards.
Hey, listen, is this show one of the worst I've seen this year? Yes. But five other shows like it are equally bad, but pro-slavery somehow. So, you know, that one's coming out on top of this very weird genre evaluation. That's my life. I'm also playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, barreling towards the end of that, and enjoying it. A lot of mini games, maybe too many. Too many mini games.
Too many.
Many mini games. I don't know. Ryan just bounced, but are we out of gas, actually?
I mean, there's nothing else on the plane.
No.
And like I haven't been checking out anything else other than Helldivers and all that shit. Oh, I take it back, Lucas.
Yes.
I watched Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire. I took a day off of work last week and I ran some errands. I ended up watching that movie, caught a matinee.
As one does for Godzilla movies.
Yeah, no. It's not a Godzilla movie. It's it falls into the same pitfalls of the last Godzilla Kong
Oh.
collaboration movie. It is still just a King Kong movie where Godzilla shows up exactly three times. And yeah, it is one of the dumbest movies that I've ever seen. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed the movie, I'll say that, but like in a bad movie night kind of way.
Oh
That movie is so
no.
fucking stupid.
Ugh.
Like, I don't look. I think the franchise kind of peaked with Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Fuck yes. We are the only people with that opinion, but fuck yes.
Really?
I
Really?
people didn't show up for it. Like the reason we're
It
seeing
was
this
in the middle
pivot
of, oh no, it wasn't in COVID, was it? It was like 2018.
right before, yeah.
Yeah, that's so weird because that movie is so much more fun than the rest of them. Like Kong Skull Island is pretty good, like a pretty decent movie, in the same way that like the 2015 Godzilla movie is like actually really not that bad of a movie,
Yeah.
just not enough Godzilla. And Godzilla King of the Monsters rectified that situation with being, we're gonna dial up the stupid 30%, but we're gonna dial up the Godzilla 400%, and it works. And the subsequent movies have been like, what if we make it 400,000 times stupider with a quarter of the Godzilla?
I will never forgive the last Godzilla versus Kong. For the second Godzilla versus Kong fight, when it's in some giant city in China, and after King Kong gets his ass beat by Godzilla, he gets a hit in, and Godzilla goes down, and then one of the human characters who do not matter in this movie are like, looks like King Kong wins this, and then Godzilla
Yeah.
just gets up, like I just like didn't even the round's
Yeah,
not even
like,
over,
yeah,
Godzilla's fine.
clearly has no chance. King Kong clearly has no chance of ever winning a fight against Godzilla. And yeah, it was weird. Introduced some new enemies, some new monsters into the movie that were fun. But like in a there was like this happened like once or twice, not every time that a new monster would show up, so it was really jarring. Like, where it would be like basically an episode of Power Rangers where it would show like a 3D model spinning of that monster and it, with an AI voice going, Tiamat, Tiamat lives in Antarctica and has strong radioactive abilities. They're strongest, blah, 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 and they're weakest, blah, blah. Like, no one fucking asked for this. Why is this suddenly an episode of Street Fighter? It was weird.
Also, isn't
But yeah.
Tiamat a biblical dragon?
Yeah.
Oh,
Like
okay.
like an ocean dragon.
Huh.
And that's what this was. Spoiler alert.
Doesn't.
Doesn't really matter. They made Godzilla pink. It
Oh.
looked weird.
Any reason for that?
He charged up.
Oh, okay. Oh, he went Super Saiyan. Got it.
Yeah, no, he meant Kaioken. I
Oh.
think the director specifically said we made him pink because it reminded us of Kaioken. He like doubled his strength, and that's like why do yellow then? Make him
Yeah,
go
I
Super
well,
Saiyan and do yellow would look way better. I don't know.
the whole thing with Kaioken is that it hurts him and you can only do it for a little while.
Yeah.
Also, I heard King Kong has a baby in this one.
He finds and adopts a little
Oh.
baby.
Which was Godzilla's deal. That's how they
Yeah.
made Godzilla more, I don't know, personable. They made him a dad.
Yeah. No, they definitely did that with Kong this time. And yeah, I'm serious. Like Godzilla really just like shows up every once in a while. And they're like, anyone got news on Godzilla? Like, yeah, he's still asleep. And then like he hears the call and gets up. They made the main villain just like a skinny anime guy that like skulks around and smirks a lot and does a stupid lean thing and has a whip. It's really weird. Yeah, I mean like I mean it. This was an anime, like in the sa more so than Cory in the House.
Jesus Christ. Oh, I see Kong has an infinity gauntlet. That's fun.
Yeah, he gets frostbite, so they have to give him a power glove, which just makes him way stronger. It's weird.
Okay. Mothra in this one?
Yeah, at the very end.
I see Godzilla. I think this is in a trailer. Godzilla was like curled up, taking a nappy in the Roman Colosseum. Is
Yeah.
that symbolic at all, or is that just like, oh, that'd be a cool visual?
He kills a monster in Rome and then takes a nap in the Colosseum. 2 hours later, he gets up, does the last fight, and then goes back and sleeps in the Colosseum again.
Why is Godzilla so divorced in these movies?
I don't know, dude. Because, like, they in King of the Monsters, they ended it with, like, and now all the monsters like bow to Godzilla and like everything's peaceful. And they open this one up with there's monsters running all over the place. Godzilla is the top of the surface world and has to go fight off the monsters whenever they threaten people. Yeah, and then like King Kong goes to the surface world to ask for Godzilla's help, and Godzilla just immediately tries to kill him. And again, easily whipped his ass, even with like the power glove thing. Godzilla just owns him until Mothra comes in and is like, "Hey, boys, stop fighting." And he's like, "Oh, my ex-wife needs my help. I'm gonna go do everything that she asks, and then go take a nap in my rental house."
I will never forgive humanity. I will never forgive moviegoers for not being more endeared to Godzilla. At the end of the first movie, we think he's dead. And then that little girl pats his snout. And then he's like, fine, I guess I'm not gonna die. I guess I'll go back to the ocean and
Yeah.
get ready to fight King Ghidorah or whatever. Blah. What's not to love? Ah.
Yeah.
I saw two polar opposite movies to this one over the weekend, Hereditary and Sunset Boulevard.
Damn.
Hereditary, very, very good. Magic is real horror movie. That's cool. And Sunset Boulevard, cinema classic, incredibly influential. I think Apartment is my preferred Billy Wilder movie so far. But yeah, I don't know.
We
Think
watched
about that.
Roman Holiday a couple of days ago. Like the, I think that movie is from '53.
Yeah.
Kind of like a very classic rom-com, still holds up. Like, I'd give it a rec.
It's good to know. I have a blind criterion. Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, no, she was really good. I think she won like best. I think she won like a fucking Academy Award or an Oscar for that movie or something.
All right. Oh, wow. Audrey Hepburn was alive until 93. That's
Yeah.
more recent,
She
Okay.
did a lot. Like she lived a whole hell of a life. It was kind of cool.
All right. Okay, I think that is just about going to do it for episode 250 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, likely titled ESPN's Poggers Parlay of the Week. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, highlight clips. Support us on Patreon. Join the likes of Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Active link in the description to help a collection of great progressive causes. Follow me, Lucas Dreider, on Blue Sky. Not on Twitter. If you ever see me doing anything on Twitter, let it be known that I am actively having a bad time mentally. Yeah. I don't know. Have a great week. Enjoy springtime. Hope the NBA playoffs are fulfilling and rewarding to you, I guess, with that coming up. Bye.